You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
And you are listening to KCRW. I'm Larry Perel. Well, as we continue to watch events unfold in Afghanistan, the Afghan diaspora is watching too. Many say they feel betrayed by the U.S. government and what they consider an abrupt departure. Many others still are glued to their cell phones or TV screens, watching Afghanistan's citizens navigate a painful and uncertain future. And all that pain and uncertainty half a world away resonates on the streets of L.A., right here where KCRW's Benjamin Gottlieb has been reporting, and he joins me now live. Hi, Ben.
Larry, good to be with you.
Great to have you. You've been interviewing Afghan Americans in Los Angeles. Tell us a little bit about the conversations you've had and what folks have been telling you.
Yeah, I have. And I've noticed a few themes in talking with a number of Afghan Americans. I've heard a lot of bewilderment. There's also rage, Larry, and there's helplessness too, especially among Afghan American women. I mean, let's not forget, Afghanistan is a country that for two decades has seen really incredible, albeit relative, advancements for women and for women's rights. I mean, you've got female political leaders in Afghanistan, women in virtually every sector of the economy. But right now, there is incredible fear about what might happen under the Taliban and its rule. At least that's what Fallon Zuhal Ferguson told me. She's 24 years old. She's a child of Afghan refugees that fled the country during the Soviet-Afghan War of the 1980s.
Well, I'm not going to say that Afghanistan was perfect. It wasn't. But at least it was still safe for girls in the main cities to walk the streets. You know, one thing for sure is that we deserve better as a people. We deserve better as a country.
She was one of the main organizers of this vigil that I attended last night, Larry. A couple hundred people, Afghans and their supporters. This was outside the federal building in West LA where there are often protests and vigils like this. And, you know, she told me she has this sickening amount of survivor's guilt right now. Her being here in the U.S. while she watches what's happening, not just to women her age, but also to her family members that are still in Afghanistan.
Sure. You know, Benjamin, the war in Afghanistan is the longest in U.S. history, spanning two decades. And with really now that we've sent more troops in, no end in sight. When you asked Afghan Americans about the initial U.S. withdrawal, what did they tell you that they wanted to see instead?
Yeah, that's a good question. And look, I mean, as you heard from Zuhal Ferguson, there's an acknowledgement that things were not perfect with the Afghan government under President Ashraf Ghani. But the prevailing feeling is that the U.S. botched its military withdrawal. I caught up with Dr. Dean Sherzai. He's an Afghan-American neurologist in the greater L.A. area. And he told me he actually also spent time in Afghanistan in 2002 during the early days of the U.S.-led coalition, where he says he helped set up the Afghan healthcare system. Now, since then, he says, women in Afghanistan have enjoyed incredible social mobility never seen before in that country. And the biggest tragedy of what's taken place in Afghanistan the last week, he says, is what will happen to women.
We know for a fact from public health side as well as from social sciences side that when you empower a woman, that's the most pivotal and successful social change model in any country. If things follow the way that it is and it looks like it, it's the death of all hope. It's the biggest genocide.
You can hear there in the background, there's a woman wailing. She was talking to some of the other members of the media about this same issue, and she was kind of breaking down. Now Sherzai says he sees what's happening to women in Afghanistan as the theft of their future. I should say, it's important to say and to point out that things are still very uncertain right now in Afghanistan. We really don't know fully what's going to happen. In fact, this week, a spokesperson for the Taliban told NPR that women will be allowed to continue working so long as they wear a head covering. But many are skeptical, Larry. Obviously, I'm not on the ground in Afghanistan, but we've seen reports of forced marriages of women and young girls to Taliban fighters. And as you can imagine, that's something that's horrified folks here in Los Angeles, including Hosai Afridi. Now, Hosai lives in the LA area with her children. She's also an Afghan American and says she can't help putting herself in the shoes of mothers that are still in Afghanistan.
They're worried about their daughters and their sons, you know, and their husband and their brother, that they're going to be not there in next morning. Imagine living like this every single second that you're living in Afghanistan.
Really rough for her to talk about, for obvious reasons. And she told me she hasn't actually slept in days. She's so upset.
I know. It's got to be absolutely traumatic for so many people. Benjamin, besides this vigil, what are Afghans in LA planning to do next?
Well, on the activism side, Larry, many are urging people to call their congressional representatives and demand that more refugees from Afghanistan are admitted to the U.S. There are also some planned events in L.A., not this Saturday, but next Saturday, the 28th. There's this protest that's scheduled to support an open door policy, as organizers are calling it, for Afghan refugees. This is noon on the 28th outside the UNICEF office on Santa Monica in West L.A. But like I mentioned, Larry, truly, there's this collective feeling of helplessness right now among Afghans in the U.S. They feel let down by the U.S., and I would venture to say that's not a feeling that's going away anytime soon.
It's a difficult situation at best. KCRW's Benjamin Gottlieb taking the pulse of L.A.'s Afghan-American community. Benjamin, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Anytime, Larry.